listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to this very special edition of the Spirit of Life Program for Sunday, October 30th, on the eve of All Hallows Eve, and I'm joined by Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Ooh, happy Halloween, Michael. I'm so glad to be here. We have never done a Halloween special before.
We haven't, and, you know, this is just the perfect occasion. And, of course, I'm Michael Kelly, glad to be here. Glad to have you joining us. We came to this special a bit of an odd way where we had some infrastructure issues after Hurricane Ian, and we lost some internet service on our regular Wednesday night, which kind of brought us to this happy coincidence of doing a makeup kind of broadcast, but coinciding with Halloween, and I'm looking forward to it. So, looking forward to this chat. Of course, we're still going to do our normal 9 abbreviated principles of belief, because that's just good stuff no matter what day it is. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings, consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight's topic, well, there's a lot of different names for it, aren't there, Dr. Vicki?
Well, let's call it what it is, Samhain. And the Gaelic word was pronounced Samhain. And it was usually celebrated between October 31st and November 1st to welcome in the harvest and usher in the dark half of the year, which is right between the autumn equinox and the Yuletide, you know, the winter solstice. Mm-hmm. So it's right in between those things. And I think a lot of people wonder, like, what is Halloween? Where did it come from? But the most significant part about it, and it really is the most sacred of all the ceremonies for pagans, you know, throughout the year, because it's when the veil between the worlds is thin, Michael. It's when, you know, the ancient people, particularly the Celts, believed that you could, you know, speak with the dead and the dead would visit, which leads us to pumpkins, but we'll get to that in a second. But, it's been around for a long time. It's a particularly sacred celebration time of the year for many cultures, but primarily we know it by the Celts and the Druid priests. But I'm here to tell you that there's many cultures that also celebrated this time of year that might have had a different day or otherwise for it, generally guided by the moon cycles. Because, you know, a lot of folks didn't have calendars. They relied on the moon and the phases of the moon and would generally have a lot of other natural or nature kind of indicators as to when to, you know, hold the event. And, of course, I don't need to put in there, too, do I, Michael, that there were a lot of sacrificings going on.
Oh, yeah. You know, the Celts were an interesting people. And I think, you know, and you can see these trends throughout the entirety of the northern peoples in Europe from the Mediterranean perspective. You know, I think about the Celts and their versions of, you know, the gods and human sacrifice. It's the same as the Nordic of later years, you know. I heard a historian put it one way that, you know, you could almost identify the Celts because they all come from this wellspring, in North Europe and the Nordic areas, right? They pop on the field of history from, you know, societies that we still have records from. That's the only reason that we don't know anything about them, is that they often didn't write down much for themselves, and what they did write was, you know, Druidic runes. So the funniest way, or not the funniest, but the best way I've heard it put, is that the Celts were like the Nordic people's version 1.0, or Vikings 1.0, the Germanic peoples were the 2.0, and then the, you know, what we think of as Vikings of the 700-800s CE would be like the 3.0. But it's that same kind of culture, just like you go back in time to the steppe peoples, the Scythians that go into the Huns, that go into the Mongols. They're, you know, different iterations. And the point being is that you have these traditions that stretch back thousands of years that are carried forward. And, you know, the story about Halloween also gets intertwined with Christianity, like many things do, because they are adapting Christian theology and ideas and celebrations to pre-existing Celtic or pagan, not just Celtic, actually. You know, you have some Romantic things in there, Greek, but nonetheless, onto these different cultures, often Celtic, and we kind of get this melding, you know. We have...
contamination.
Yes.
That's but, what it is. Call it what it is contamination.
So, yeah, what, you know, have is a, you know, harvest ceremony that goes, you know, regions will do it differently, obviously, but, you know, it's a common time of harvest. It's a common time of change. Just like you said, the veil's at its thinnest. And, you know, one thing I was thinking about is the nature of consciousness in this. And is the veil thinnest at this time because of something that, I guess, how do I want to say this, is a motivating force in and of itself? Or is it the thinnest because the combined human consciousness perceives it that way, because it's at this moment of change between the light and dark? And we almost created this veil because of our power of consciousness. Good tangent.
Those are really good questions, Michael. I think that because of these natural cycles, they would consider this a time because of the planting, you know, the growing, and, you know, nurturing, and then, you know, we have our harvest. When harvest is done and we're in preparation for winter, in the winter months, then that's when the feeling of the veil, you know, the chill is coming on. And So, you know, what's true or not, you know, it's hard to know. It's certainly a belief system that, you know, people adopted. And I think, you know, from that pagan perspective, it kind of makes sense, you know. But,
you know. I got to say, as a little side tangent, one of the things that irritates me most about looking back on history and, you know, in an anthropological kind of way, looking back at different cultures and history, and then all of these different, wildly different cultures get lumped together as pagans. That's you know, whether you're the Celts or the Greeks or the Persians, that's all just pagan.
Yeah. Well, you know, the pagan word actually was given by the Christians.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Originally to say those without God, which nothing could be further from the truth. But,
right.
You know, it's a word, like the word God, G-O-D, it, you know, it has this connotation, but it's a word. Mm-hmm. And then pagan takes on a connotation, then people just naturally use it without any forethought. Truly, if we go back and understand, we're pantheists, not pagan, but more the pantheism, where we believe that, you know, the nature of all things is God itself. You know,
Yeah. It's
if you want to speak about, use that word God, then we apply it to all of nature.
And, you know, it's almost like
there's an energy and a consciousness to all things.
You might even call it, you know, the force. I'm going to pull that out of nowhere, yes. You know, no copyright infringement here, but it's just like aura of energy from all living things that combines into the living force of the galaxy. Again, this is all completely original. I don't remember hearing that from anywhere.
You've been playing with your saber again. I know it.
It connects me to the metaphysical realm, Dr. Vicky. Don't try to, you know, saber shame me here. But
so Dr. Zach is saying he understood pagans to be anyone who did not follow one of three Abrahamic religions.
And that's kind of what my thought on it was, too.
Yeah. My understanding, if we take religion out of it, is people in the religious Christian context,
well, it's,
you know, they just didn't... thought anybody who was, you know, believed in multiple gods, polytheistic, and
yeah.
That they were without God because they didn't know Jesus Christ. They didn't know the God of all gods. And
not to be confused with one of the very many sects of Christianity or Islam or Judaism that were also Abrahamic religions that were wrong, but in a different way. They weren't pagans. Yeah. They were heretics. So
there you go. Exactly. So that's kind of where my understanding of the origin was. They're just, it's those people, they're pagans, as opposed to their pantheist and polytheistic, people who believe in multiple gods and have their own rituals.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a lot of those rituals, whether it's lighting candles or, drinking wine, it all came from, for the sake of not having other words, Michael, let's use the word pagan. They came from pagan folks. So anything that Christians practice is from those very early practices of, the tribal people and indigenous people, no matter where they lived.
Absolutely. So. And, a great callback point that, we're all indigenous. We're all tribal peoples at some point in our history. It's really not that far ago. In fact, I'd say we're very much a tribal people now. But that being said, we have these traditions that survive. And, this mix and match of different cultures is largely thanks to the Roman Empire and what it did. I remember also on this same history where we were talking about the Celts, the Germans, and the Viking, Nordic, Danes and Norwegians. They were also talking about a lot of these things that we're talking about in terms of really it's the wording just escaped me. I'm being distracted by a little hellhound here. So if you have to forgive me. On the eve of All Hallows Eve, the hounds from the other side, they come out. But
while you think about that, Michael, in your moment of distraction, I was with my grandkids yesterday and we're carving pumpkins and as they get older you have to repeat the stories because they don't remember stuff. So again, I was repeating that it was primarily the Irish and again the Celts, and we go back further.
Mm-hmm.
They would carve scary faces into vegetables.
Yeah.
Primarily potatoes, turnips, anything that they could carve into that would scare away the evil spirits of Halloween. Because when you open the veil, werewolves. When you open the veil, it's not just the good, it's also the bad. Anything is possible. So you want to scare away the evil spirits. So that was the nature of that. Now, in the 1800s, I think, somebody can correct me there if they want, but the Irish brought that over. There's pumpkins. Look at that.
Yeah.
So they started using pumpkins, and that's primarily where we get this whole great marketing campaign of pumpkins, which I love, and I like to eat pumpkin too, so there you go.
Who doesn't like having pumpkin spice added to literally everything you can possibly imagine once a year?
Hey, but it was my birthday last week, folks.
Yes, it
and,
was.
I undertook the making of a vegan, yes, there's such a thing, a vegan pumpkin cheesecake. Oh my God, it was the best thing. I don't know why I didn't do this before, but anyway, so that was, we did the pumpkin cheesecake for my birthday instead of a traditional cake this year. It was fun.
I don't think I'm going to be able to move on from the pumpkin cheesecake. I'm going to think about that for a little while longer. But, the point that I was essentially trying to make is this historian that I'm talking about, and I was trying to remember the way he put it, and I think I got it, is he as a boy, he had a nanny that was Irish, from Ireland, and she spoke with the brogue, and one day she came in, and he was playing with his, ancient soldiers and Romans against the Celts, and she came in and said, "Oh, who's going to win?" And he says, "The Romans. The Romans always win." She says, "Ah, do they now?" And she says, "Well, tell me, is anybody still speaking Latin?" He says, "No." And he says, "Well, we're still speaking Irish back in Ireland," which is, of course, a Gaelic Celtic language. Mm. And it just shows that, yes, they were, conquered, so to speak, but they live on. The traditions live on. The traditions that we celebrate on Halloween live on. And a lot of the philosophies, ideas, and, different ceremonies continue to exist. And this veil has persisted where I like how you pointed out that it's not just the good that comes through. It's not just being able to talk to your dead relatives, but it's you know, maybe hounds from the other side that, you know, are all...
Or my ex-husband.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Oh, no. You know, and that, so then we get to trick-or-treating, you know, and how we've adapted all these things. And again, that goes back to the Celts and primarily Ireland, Scotland, where at least the written history mm-hmm. of it is if you... you know, you would dress up to scare away, you know, all the evil spirits. But if you put a little dance on or you did something funny, then you would be rewarded with treats. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then that just, oh, man, if that's not, you know, propaganda marketing for a whole new industry, I don't know what is. So, you know, so that's why, you know, you go trick-or-treating, which now is just Halloween apples, and it's taken on many forms. You know, you dunk for apples and your hands tied behind your back and get your face all wet, you know, all those funny things that people want to incorporate as traditions, you know, during this time of year.
Yeah.
But the root of it, you know, at the very root of it is the understanding that the veil is thin and that we're in preparation and that, you know, we don't want any bad spirits through winter. We want it to go nice. So you appease the gods by making a sacrifice. And I think the whole notion of sacrifice, certainly from that pagan or, you know, pantheistic kind of a viewpoint, is energy in the balance of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you would give energy to receive energy. So they just took it right down to blood-curdling, you know, sacrifices at the altar. That's all.
Well, so. Yeah, that's one thing about looking back into ancient human history. There's always a, you know, a good old mix of some human sacrifice that pops up relatively frequently, no matter which hemisphere you're looking at. But and I think it is of note that, you know, it's not just Celtic peoples that have these harvest traditions or these ideas about...
Yeah.
You know, the underworld. And I think it would be good to point out, Tabitha made a comment that October 31st is the day that Persephone returns to the underworld. And of course, Persephone is a Greek minor deity. I was going to call her goddess, but I corrected myself on Wikipedia. Apparently, she's only a minor deity. Poor Persephone. But mm-hmm. she is the queen of the underworld.
Yes.
And, you know, the goddess of the seasons and vegetation. So mm-hmm. here we have a Greek tradition from the Mediterranean. That we also have traditions from the Celts. And, you know, one thing I wish I had looked into would be traditions from South and East Asia. Because I bet that they would be fascinating as well. So
I didn't look into that either, Michael. I'm remiss in that. We're going
if only we had some device in front of us that had instant access to some pool of information.
Oh, like Google? Yeah. You know, and look, there's been so many things that got incorporated into the notion of Halloween or the full moon, like werewolves, and that's been around for thousands of years. There's even stories of the skinwalker. Everybody familiar with that, I'm sure. You know, we're half dog, half human, or it can morph into different shapes. And so there are all of these, you know, folklore that, mm-hmm. you know, we attach to. And, you know, it's so interesting to me that people are so afraid. Many people I talk to are so afraid of ghosts, and yet they... you know, do Halloween and all these other rituals and call upon all that. Like, hey, like getting in a Ouija board, are you nuts? You know? Yeah, they get out there, Ouija boards, it's no big deal because they don't really believe in it.
Right. And I think it's that, well, that comes back to the power of belief, you know, creating that link and making it real. But, you know, thank be to the internets and the webs of different internet.
What did you find?
We actually have a few. I'm just going to... reading through, these are actually fairly interesting. Some different traditions in East Asia. Some of them are, you know, are kind of modernized by globalization, but a lot of them actually do date back to more ancient traditions. For example, China celebrates Halloween or Tang. Oh, I'm not going to try to say that. Qi is what I'm thinking. By leaving drinks, food, and spirit money as offerings to the dead, lighting lanterns to guide spirits to the next life. It is believed that spirits are sometimes reincarnated into scary creatures, and seeing one is considered very bad luck. So, during the festival, locals visit Buddhist temples and make paper boats to carry their loved ones and other spirits onwards. So there's a, I'm just going to use a few examples that I found most interesting.
It's kind of more civil than sacrificing cows.
Yeah, yeah, I would say.
It's an offering.
I found the Obon Festival in Japan. It's similar in that it's a harvest type festival. It's about honoring your ancestors and departing spirits. Family members' graves are visited and cleaned. Offerings are left. The idea in Japan is centrally to reconnect with the family and those who passed and honor their memory. They also hang bright lanterns in their houses or set them afloat on rivers. This is actually a little earlier than October. Usually it's in August, but it's the very similar kind of harvest style festival. So, you know, go ahead.
And that makes sense why you put candles in a pumpkin and light up the face, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the lights.
I mean, so we're crisscrossing the, you know, old world, so to speak. We've gone from Europe to Asia throughout. And, you know, I'd be curious what the, you know, Americas would have had, or in Africa, the original incarnation of humanity. It'd be fascinating what kind of records that they would have.
I am familiar with you know, indigenous people of North America. Of course, every tribe is different to its location, but it is the autumn as well. I'm not familiar with different African tribes, but I know that the indigenous people here, you know, consider this also a sacred time. But
absolutely.
Let's be real. A lot of things have been contaminated. Our knowledge has been contaminated by, number one, Christianity, and the other is commercialization. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, somebody finds another good hook to sell, you know, and we get further and further away from the origin of why we celebrate, you know, certain times of the year. And then those natural rhythms, you know, it's to keep that intact. And that's where I think it's up to even us or others to, you know, keep those thoughts alive, which is why we're having this discussion. Is what is it all about? What's the origin? Not just, you know, the... buy a costume.
Right. And I think it's everybody has a different vibe. Everybody has a different energy signature. So I think people will celebrate in different ways. But I think it is important as a self-aware, conscious being to reflect on the different states of existence, to reflect on that veil, to think of our ancestors, to, you know, try to process that good energy to help things along. I mean, there's a power in that, even if you can look at the practical and, you know, philosophical, metaphysical benefits, even if it, because a lot of these are improvable. You can't disprove them. So anything is possible. Yeah. But even if we look at only the materialist view, which I don't personally adhere to, there are even benefits there of the reflection on self, on mortality, on, you know, the different states of existence, our ancestors, remembering those that came before us. There's tremendous power in all of these things inherently. Add to that the next layer, piercing the veil, And I think that you find it so common in different cultures across the world because there's something to that, the time of change that you talked about earlier in the program. You know, the time of harvest, going into the winter, the darkness. Of course, it changes in the southern hemisphere, but... it is, and I think that's something to also consider. Is the veil pierced at the same time in the southern hemisphere, or does the energy, you know, the conscious energy make a different shift? You know, something else, well, I hadn't considered.
Those are absolutely, you know, important things to ask ourselves, and just know what we're tuning into, which consciousness we're tuning into. But again, I'm of the mind to get to the origin as opposed to buy into the hype. And and I think that's the thing. But there's so many things we don't know, right? And I know whether it's from Sasquatch to Skinwalkers to, you know, UFOs and aliens. There's so many things we don't know. We barely tapped into. Because what about the other dimensions of space-time, which is what Halloween is all about? How that veil is thinner. But I have to tell you, everybody, my doing readings on Halloween is no different than any other day of the year. And it's no different for me. I don't experience anything different doing a reading on a full moon to any other, you know, cycle of the year. And I suppose younger I might have thought there could have been, but honestly, you know, it is what it is at any given time. So mm-hmm. That's where, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Absolutely. I think we'd be ignorant if we didn't realize that there's so much that we don't know that we don't even know enough to ask what the questions are, you know, about what we don't know. There's all these different layers to our reality, possibilities. And I also come back to this idea, you know, we're talking about piercing the veil of life and death and going to the other side and being able to communicate with the other side. Well, what is the other side? It's a different mm-hmm. dimension, which kind of gives it more of a sci-fi spin, attaches it mm-hmm. to things that we kind of know and quantum physics and the multiverse, things that we're kind of coming around to as theories. And so what is magic? What is all this, you know, myth and legend and all of these different things? It's science that we haven't fully quantified yet. And as True. We become more and more evolved, more and more advanced, we're able to conceptualize it in different ways. And it no longer is steeped in, you know, the dark mists of magic and mystery. It's something that we can, we can point to, we can show, we can think about, we can kind of have an intellectual idea of in a different way. And it... Yeah, I mean, to some it might make them feel that it loses a certain mystique, but to me it gives it a whole new one. It gives it this this reality. It gives it some kind of... when you touch on those things, it just has this feeling of import. You can kind of just feel that it is connecting to something much bigger. So when I think about piercing behind the veil, that's what I'm thinking of. And I think
50, 80 years ago, anti-gravity was unheard of. Now we know it exists. You know,
right.
Lots of things that we're evolving, whether mm-hmm. whether we see it on the streets walking to the store or not.
Right. So, I mean,
you know, Michael, it's that time. Yeah. We already have so many names in the chat. I know there's Absolutely. People who would like a card pulled. Michael's going to draw an inner oracle self-discovery card designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly. Mm-hmm. I'll pull a supporting tarot card. And I know I say that, you know, it's no different one day to the next, but who knows? Let's see what happens.
Well, you say that. I say the probability is going to make this the most important card of your life. But I think looking forward to getting into it on the eve of Halloween here. And I believe our first card is for Dr. Raven.
All right, Raven.
Oh, this is beautiful. This is wild card number 4, Unknowable. Let's see. There are mysteries in the universe and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember that we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, Raven, I picked the 10 of clubs, and I thought, okay, feeling a little bit burdened or heaviness about what? And so I picked another card just so I could get some clarity, and it was the 4 of diamonds. So here's the way I see this. With the ten of wands and the 4 of pentacles with unknowable, you might be feeling some financial stress or some concerns that way. What about your security? How are things coming? But... this is an assurance to you to hang in there. That one thing that the 10 of clubs does give you is that your destination is in sight. So it's like maybe you feel like things have been a bit cumbersome, but it's right over there. The goal is right over there. So take heart and be positive. Good things are on the way to give you more security.
I like it.
Yeah. Anna. Oh. Welcome, Anna. What have we got for Anna, Michael?
For Anna, I have number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, and Divine Energy.
I like it.
I do too. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role that you and they play. Good card.
Well, you're in a transformation, Anna. So when you have a spirit cosmos supported by, and don't freak out over this, please, the death card, I like it. It's, oh, please, it's not a negative, not at all. That's transformation.
Mm-hmm.
That's rebirth. So, and very appropriate at Halloween, right?
Absolutely.
The veil is thin, and you're tapping into a new part of yourself, opening up your mind and going through your own transformation. I will say it's going to be easier if you just go with it rather than try to resist. That's the only caution there about that. When we try to intellectualize our changes too much, then, you know, we get kind of stuck on something, or emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just allow that spiritual cosmic energy kind of flow through you and get to know yourself in a new way, because you are changing and rebirthing as we speak. Very exciting.
It is. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. I believe we have Ronnie next.
We do.
And I have number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Well, with everything that Michael has just said, Ronnie, it's think about that when you're dealing with people in positions of power, authority, that kind of thing, and find your own middle ground. Be centered, confident, you know, assured that you know what you're talking about. Or at least you have something to bring to the table. Because I pulled the King of Diamonds in support of that, and it's like, this is dealing with the power play. So communication in regards to power is just hold your own. I will say, sometimes if we're emotionally reacting to something that someone says, just push the pause button, and you know, that'll count to 10 things. Sometimes all you have to do is count to 3. And if something irritates you and it makes you anxious, that just think yellow, go right to your solar plexus, breathe in and exhale yellow. You immediately calm down and you're able to find your words.
Mm-hmm.
So communication is really important there.
I know, and I feel like I have to really focus on this too with Dr. Vicky, you know, kind of make sure I'm on point and bring some to the table with the power position. But I was also going to just say that we appreciate Wendy. You're volunteering as the card keeper, and she's pointing out that we haven't pulled this one in a long time. So glad to see some, you know, new cards and some new things on this kind of eve of change.
Mm, absolutely.
But she doesn't have her stats with her tonight, but it did make me think how much I wanted to thank Wendy for everything that you do in bringing, you know, those kind of patterns to us. So just absolutely. A shout out real quick. All right, and we have Dr. Edward next.
Okay.
Dr. Edward, of course for you, I got number one, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Well, the Ace of Diamonds is supportive of that, Edward. And I would say you might be doing a little bit of, just a little bit of financial reassessment. Maybe even not moving, but just assessing so that you know how the flow is. So that security, you know, output, input, that kind of thing. But it's definitely a matter of how you're feeling confident in your life and secure. And I know, like, look, expenses have gone up for everybody, you know, in so many ways these days.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, for Dr. Edward, you're okay. It's saying that you have things in balance. You might be just, you know, checking the balance on the account a little bit more, keeping it in order, and you got this. So it's just a thing here, and I want to say it's an assurance to you that you're doing fine and everything's going to be all right for you that way. So if there's extra expenditures, that is too.
I like it. All right. And Jamil, I have you next. And for you, I have awareness number 11. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. Good card. And Jamil, I feel like I know you well enough to say that you are always trying to increase your awareness and increase your understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. I got the Five of Spades or the Five of Swords in support of that. If it's saying to me that this would already have happened, where you might have had a moment of stress with a challenge of something. I want to say perhaps even with people, but it's come to pass already. And so this is saying with that awareness, what did you learn from that? And it's reevaluating how you want to proceed and what kinds of communications that you might have learned through that process. So it's, I think all this is saying is just a reminder that for every challenge that we do experience in life, that we are gleaning something good of it, even if we don't like it. You know, we don't like the experience, man. I don't want to do that again. What good came of that? But there is this, you know, it's like, think of it after the battle, you're kind of looking at the victory and saying, okay, what was that all about?
Yeah.
What good came of it? So hope that makes sense to you, Jamil.
All right. And next we have Deb. And Deb, for you tonight, I have number 30, Greatness to Deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself of the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued, and delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Wow, and you got the Three of Clubs to boot. That's awesome, Deb. Think of this, in the Three of Wands, someone who is looking to the future. You know, three is one of those numbers that just wants to be happy. It really does. It just wants to tie up loose ends. It wants to feel good. And so it's looking into the future. So your greatness to deliver, you might be redefining your sense of purpose, the sense of value that you feel you have in the world, or the sense of value that you feel you share with others, and how you want to move forward. So this is what I'm seeing is you looking really deep, Deb, to say, what is my greatness to desire? Who was I born to be? And that's a very exciting moment, to be honest, because you can rewrite your life in a heartbeat. So there you go.
All right. And we have Dr. Jeff next. Dr. Jeff, glad to see you. And for you, I have number 25, the power of belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
You got the Judgment card in support of that, Jeff. That's, to me, declaration, announcement. So that power of belief, you know, sometimes, and I have to do this with myself too, what I say and what I do have to be in sync. You know, the words and then the actions to follow. It might be something that you're just checking in with yourself at the moment. It's making a declaration. Now it's the follow through and feeling that motivation, the incentive, and getting a kind of a new momentum going, if you will. That's what I'm gleaning from these symbols. And I mean, you're already on it. Jeff, it's just now taking the new steps to keep the energy flowing. So that's what I have to say. I hope it makes sense.
All right. And let's see. We have Tabitha next. And Tabitha, I was just looking at your comments in Dia de Muertos, the Day of the Dead, another great call out. And I cannot for the life of me recall when that is, but another... I think it reminds me a lot of the tarot card death, you know, in the sense of it's a time of transition and things like that. But great contribution. And Tabitha, for you, I have number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from the external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, there seems to be a lot of rebirthing going on here, Michael, and this reinvention, and really appropriate at Halloween, I'll say. But this is even more interesting when Tabitha has the Seven of Diamonds, so that Seven of Pentacles is, in fact, the Harvest card. It's like reaping the benefits of all the work that you've put into things and starting to see, again, the benefit. And so you've been reinventing yourself. You continue to reinvent yourself. And the benefits are naturally coming to you. The values are coming back to you. So I don't think it's for us to measure ourselves based on our rewards, but there is something to be said for how we put out our energy, that we're getting something into in return to know we're on the right track because it provides for us. So, you know, and so there's provisions here, Tabitha. Very exciting, and I think I feel like you've worked on something very internal, and it's that aha light bulb moment, and you got this.
I like it. All right. And we have our friend Dr. Zach next. And Dr. Zach, I have for you number 23, meaning and purpose. Has a familiar vibe to it. I don't know if you've gotten this one, but meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation.
Well, Zach, you got the Hierophant in support of that. I like it. I know Zach reads tarot also, and he has his own interpretations of tarot. I'm going to share mine. When you have meaning and purpose in the Hierophant, it's that order, conformity. And it doesn't mean conforming to an outside source. It's finding your own conformity. Whether there's some kind of opportunity or limitation, because it goes both ways, but finding that sense of purpose in your own routines and rhythms and output, energy output. And I like this because it says to me you've been either finding or will find right away this new routine that is more consistent in your energy. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Zach, where you can sustain that energy more and longer. So I think it's awesome. So this rhythm, and it continues on. So, you know, we all have that, you know, Michael, you know how we have a good day, a bad day, you know, this day and that day. But it's great when we can have day after day after day where, hey, this is pretty good. This is right on. And finding where you don't, you know, wear out your battery too quickly. Mm-hmm. It's like your battery only has so much energy. So finding the rhythm of what your battery operates within. I think that's exciting.
Absolutely. So, finding the best thing to recharge it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, all right, I think we have Dr. Ione next. And I think that's our last card, so correct me if I'm wrong. But we have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit. Good one to end on. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Well, Ione, this is interesting because the indomitable power of the human spirit, the two of hearts have said, is that about a relationship? And, you know, hearts coming together. Then I picked another one that says the page of hearts. So there's good news when it comes to matters of love. And again, I don't want to be presumptuous here to say it's an intimate relationship, because it certainly could be an indicator of a friendship, you know, a good camaraderie, an alliance, an allegiance of some kind. But sometimes there's greater power in two than one. And so what I'm seeing here is a partnering in some way where that power of the spirit just amplifies. So something is generating in your life where you're not feeling quite so isolated and alone. I like that. It's exciting.
All right. Good message.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and I think, I think we've all been there. And I will say this, anytime that, we're going through the week and I might be feeling a little isolated or a little bit alone at the moment, I think the times that I'm going to be with other people, and I think times like this where we can, get together, where we can exchange ideas. And I'm, was so disappointed that we weren't able to kind of gather together and chat and talk on Wednesday, and this has been perfect. So very thankful that everybody's been able to come together. I enjoyed this. I appreciate you sticking with me through my meandering thoughts. I write down bullet points, and it sounds so clear in my head earlier on, but then I sort of sped it out. But, mostly I want to convey the ideas of the cultural traditions from the ancient ancestors, how much they've retained their wholeness and their shape. Even if it has become materialistic, there are these, rhythms that just echo throughout time. And
it sure does.
I think the variety of things in the otherness of the other side of the veil, like you pointed to earlier in the history, and I think we were able to cover those.
Well, I like it myself, and I like it even better that we're going to talk next week about how to deal with difficult people, what we were going to talk about last week, because these are challenging times.
So absolutely.
We can be optimistic, but we have to be reasonable optimists. And build skills. And that's the point of being a healthy metaphysician also, is that we live in this organic world and we are interacting all the time with others. And it's, we have to learn, kind of remind ourselves now and again of how we can push the pause button and just those other little tidbits that can remind us that this is, we're okay, so...
I'm looking forward to that discussion, too. And, a little spoiler alert, mine is obviously making bad jokes to, kind of keep things light and try to remind myself that life is just absurd. If you don't look at it as absurdity, you take it too seriously, it's going to drive you insane.
I know. But happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
I always light candles on Halloween. And I, of course, I like to hang out with the kids. They're getting older now. It doesn't have the same... kind of fun component to it. But
yeah.
We still dress up and sit around a fire pit and, we don't tell horror stories so much because life can be enough of its horror.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
So just remember that, we are in the harvest time and calming and getting ready, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, getting ready for winter, and just to take a breath. That's all. Take a breath.
Good advice. Good advice. Well, as we close out this special Halloween broadcast, I had really wanted to just be able to go out on the Monster Mash, but apparently they want royalties or something like that, but we're all going to have to just imagine it in our heads, like I will be constantly for the rest of the night.
No, it's stuck in my head. Monster Mash.
You're welcome for that. But, I'm looking forward to next week's topic. I loved getting into this. And, maybe we should throw a few more of these things out. Some specials here and there. But
let's
kinda
do it.
Yeah, but we're going to figure that out. Open to your ideas. Join our Facebook group. We'll throw the link out in the One Planet community again for a refresher. But we have our own Spirit of Life Facebook group. We kind of like to chat in every now and again. I'll try to be more prolific as well myself there. But looking forward to everybody joining us next week. And I guess until then, any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
Well, not so far next week. It's in a few days. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.
That's true. We're already,
and
you know.
As Tabitha said, happy Halloween, happy Samhain. So
do absolutely.
That, everyone. Yep.
Well, and a happy All Hallows Eve to everybody. Until Wednesday, think, listen, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.